to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Second hour tonight of our live show. It's Saturday evening, August 13th, and I'm coming to you live, as I always do, from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. Keith Alexander, want to thank him for his contributions to the show during the first hour. He is forever faithful. What a loyal friend. What a compatriot. You do not get any more brilliant than that man. I don't care who you are or where you come from. Keith absolutely represents the best of the best when it comes to what he can bring to the table of a talk radio program. We're very lucky to have him as a co-host of this show, and I know you in the listening audience agree with me as we go out tonight to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. I'll tell you, Keith, like all of us here, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Winston Smith, Bill Rowland, myself, the entire hosting staff and crew of the Political Cesspool Radio Program, Keith very much loves those of you who make this show possible. He has a great amount of respect and admiration for the great men and women across the country and around the world who tune into this show and make us, give us the honor of serving as your voice. Keith loves hearing from you. And he'll ask each week, well, did I get any emails? Did anybody email? What were people saying? He cares about your thoughts. He cares about your critiques. He cares about your concerns. So if you have any questions or comments for Keith, email them to me. And I know Keith is listening right now as he's driving home. I walked him down to the car during that last commercial break, and as I always do after the first hour. So I know he's tuned in tonight on one of the two Memphis affiliate stations that broadcast the Political Cesspool. I know he's listening. And so, Keith, this one's for you. It just came in from our friend Gerald in Dallas, who, of course, we took a question from during that first hour, and he writes this. Dear James, thanks so much for reading my email and discussing its points on air. You and Keith did an outstanding job. I must add that Keith is absolutely magnificent in explaining week after week how the acceptance by many conservatives of the rightness of the so-called civil rights movement undermines any argument of these same conservatives make, even those which seemingly have nothing to do with the 50s or 60s era civil rights, like gay rights or illegal immigration. The political cesspool is the only voice on our side which consistently points out how poisonous even the supposedly good, quote-unquote, civil rights reforms like school desegregation were based on unconstitutional and or fictitious principles like the Dolley Study or the Dahl Study and have done immeasurable harm to our country. Thanks again. Tonight's show is smoking. Well, we always try to make it a blazing hot broadcast, if you will. But no, thank you, Gerald, and thank you to everyone out there. I have said this more times than anyone could count over the course of the last 7 years. Can you believe we've even been on the air that long? It's already been 7 years. It seems like just yesterday. I remember my first night in the studio as if it were just yesterday. We've come a long way together, my friends, and I use that word sincerely, together. We couldn't do it without you, and we're glad to be able to serve as your voice on the mainstream radio airwaves, nationally syndicated show. We're out there with the big boys. We're fighting with the big boys in the court of public opinion on your behalf. Gerald, thank you for your great question, your great comment, and thanks to everyone who, again, makes this show possible. You know we're a listener-supported broadcast. We need your support to stay on the air because, as Gerald says, because we don't betray our convictions, because we don't throw you under the bus, because we tell the truth and nothing but the truth. We don't water down the message. We don't go over the top. We don't try to be dramatic and sensational. We just tell it how it is. And because we do that, you know, Coca-Cola and Pepsi and Frito-Lay, they're not going to be sponsors of this show. Their God is the God of cultural Marxism, the God of political correctness. And Bob Whitaker is right about that. Listen, that's a religion, folks. You know, that's why, you know, all of these liberals live in gated communities and talk about how we should send our kids to the, you know, crime-ridden multicultural public schools. They know we're right, but by God, they won't admit it. They'll never admit it. They practice what we say is right for themselves, but they want everybody else to live in their utopian, you know, diverse wonderland. But they know we're right deep down inside. Otherwise, they'd move to the ghetto and save, you know, thousands of dollars, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in some cases on mortgages. They'd live in the ghetto if everybody were just interchangeable parts. They know we're right, but they'll never admit it because it's a religion to them. They would have to, in admitting that they were wrong and we were right, they would have to basically admit their whole life was a farce. Everything that they believed in was wrong. And how often does that really happen? You know, they would rather go to their grave holding on to that lie than admit that their religion was false. You know, they practice, you know, they preach multiculturalism with a religious fervor. It is a religion. They're not going to, you know, the unreasonable people will not admit they were wrong. Now, thankfully, there are a lot of people out there who are undecided. They haven't bought into the cult of multiculturalism. And we're winning a lot of those people over each and every week here on the Political Cesspool. People coming to our website in record numbers. The traffic continues to spike and soar. And every year we think it can't get any bigger and better. And each year it always does. Thanks to you. But folks, again, we stay on the air. It costs a lot of money to produce this show. It costs a lot of money. We stay on the air because of your generous support. We can't do it without you. Because we don't bow to the false gods of multiculturalism, we can't get corporate sponsors. Your $25 and $50 and $100 donations makes all the difference in the world. And for 7 years, you've always been there for us. And we hope to be here for many, many years to come. But we have to do it together. Everybody has their role on the team. And God knows we are eternally grateful and thankful for yours. If you would like to make a contribution to this show tonight, folks, it'll make you feel good inside. It'll make you feel good to support the people who are fighting for you. Believe me, it always does. If you would like to do just that, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org in this next commercial break. It's coming right up. You'll have enough time in this commercial break to make a contribution to this program. And who knows who will be impacted from the work that donation will allow us to do. You never know. Folks, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. You can safely and securely make a credit card contribution tonight. You can do it in about 60 seconds or less. It's that easy to stand with us as we continue to stand for you. And together, we present our ideas without retreat, surrender, or apology in the court of public opinion. Well, I didn't really even intend to get off on all that tonight. But I got Gerald's email, and then listen, folks, it's just bubbling up from the heart tonight. It's just all coming out over the air, unpracticed, unrehearsed, and uncensored here on the Liberty News Radio Network. We've got to take a break, then we're going to get back to more news here on TPC. I'm James Edwards, and I'll see you in a second.
Coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right. Back to the Political Cesspool radio program. James Edwards here with you. You know, I brag on the audience a lot. You deserve it. And here comes another one. You know, you never let me down. You never let me down. Do you remember during the first hour I was bickering a little bit with Keith? Well, we weren't bickering at each other. We were just agreeing as we bickered. TV commercials, right? They are louder than the show or movie you're watching. Anytime, and we had it here, we were watching King Kong before the show tonight, and after we came to the studio when the show started, I could still hear the commercials from the lobby of the radio station blasting out. You know, it's kind of, it might have been going out over the air for all I know. It was so loud. And I asked you, am I crazy? Has anyone else noticed that? Because I've never, you know, really asked anybody about it. But yes, it's true. Thank God for Greg from Nolensville, Tennessee. Loyal political cesspool listener. He's listening tonight, and listen, I'm going to make this a blog post. I'm going to put this up on the blog next week at some point. The Calm Act has been passed. Who knew? Well, you know, one of my listeners knew because they're so smart. Loud TV commercials will be quietened within a year. And this is what the story reads. Though Congress still bickers over net neutrality, spying on Americans, and universal health care, at least Democrats and Republicans can agree on one thing. TV commercials are too darn loud. After approval by the House, the Commercial Advertisement Loudness Mitigation Act, CALM, is now on its way to President Obama's desk. It will be passed. It was passed by the Senate earlier this year. Representative Anna Eshoo from California, the bill that she sponsored will require commercials to be at the same decibel levels as the programs during which they play. Once signed, the CALM Act will give FCC a mandate to regulate and enforce volume limits on commercials, ensuring that their maximum loudness does not exceed the average maximum loudness of the program that they're accompanying. Well, look, folks, that just goes to show that you know, we still can win a battle. You know, we're not going to overturn Roe versus Wade. We're not going to secure the borders. We're not going to get out of foreign wars. We're not going to cut out foreign aid. We're probably not ever going to turn the tide on anything substantial. But by God, we will get these loud commercials silenced once and for all. At least we can do that, right? I was being a little facetious. I mean, that's a true story. Thank you, Greg from Nolensville, sending that in. That's good news for me. That actually made my day. It doesn't take much, obviously, but that, you know, I'm happy about that. We won't have this problem again that we encountered tonight, you know, with King Kong. But I was being a little facetious about the other stuff. Listen, you know, folks, I do believe that we can change the tide. You know, those who best understand the strength of a tide are those with the courage to swim against it. And, you know, I'm proud to be one of them. And you are too. But, you know, I don't think all is lost. I know we have a lot of naysayers in this movement. You know, we're never going to be able to get back what has been lost. I don't believe that. I believe what one man can do, another can do, if it can be taken from us. And as I've said before, and I think I said it just last week or maybe a couple of weeks ago on the show, if we could have lost it all as quickly as we did, you know, the odds were certainly more heavily stacked against the cultural Marxist when they targeted the American institutions than they are against us now. I really believe that what one man can do, another can do. I think that what's taken from us can be taken back. It's going to take some effort. I mean, it's going to take some courage. You know, people can't be afraid to send in, you know, $25 to shows like ours. You could count on your fingers and toes. And I've let this be known to a couple of people I've called behind the scenes this week. You know, on your fingers and toes, you could count the number of organizations who are out there on the alternative right, the populist right, that day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year are producing consistent fruit. Our show, the Political Cesspool Radio Program, is certainly one of those, doing it in a very high-profile way. We're always in the news, for better or for worse. You know, CNN, we've been covered by some of the biggest magazines and newspapers in the world. We're right there in the ring with the big boys. We're out here fighting. It's going to take courage. People are going to have to support us, and there's going to have to be other people who come and do their own work in any capacity that they can. But, you know, the bottom line is, listen, it's never too late. Never too late. Never too late. We're going to, you know, I wouldn't be in this otherwise. I'm not just here to spin my wheels, and I'm certainly not here to become a martyr. I'm here because I believe that together we can have a positive influence on the politics and the culture of this country and indeed this world. If I didn't do it, that would mean everything that I'm here fighting for on the air is just for show. And let me tell you something. I'm not here for show, folks. I'm here to make a difference. And I wouldn't be wasting my time or yours if I didn't think a difference could be made. So with that being said, I'll get off my soapbox. We were talking about movies earlier. Now, this is kind of a sad story. If you went to our website this week, and I hope you go there every day, thepoliticalcesspool.org, you will have noticed that I put up a blog entry. I believe it was Friday. This, I guess, should come as no surprise to people in the know, but former child actor Corey Feldman says that pedophilia is Hollywood's biggest problem. I like good music, everybody knows, and I like good movies, too. And I grew up watching some of the, you know, comedic movies of the 1980s. I was born in 1980. I'm 31 years old. And so, you know, Corey Feldman and Corey Haim, I don't know if a lot of you stay in touch with pop culture, particularly 80s pop culture, you know, but that was my growing up years. And so the two Coreys, Corey Feldman and Corey Haim, they started movies like The Goonies and The Lost Boys, License to Drive, Stand By Me, and many, many others. The classic 80s films. Well, you know, he's on here now. Corey Haim committed suicide a couple of years ago, or it was last year, I believe it was. Corey Feldman came out in an interview on ABC and said that, you know, both he and Corey Haim were both molested by the pedophiles in Hollywood, and he said that is Hollywood's, always was, always is, always will be Hollywood's biggest problem is pedophilia. It was a very sad interview because, again, you know, I don't know Corey Feldman. I don't want to see that happen to anybody, but, you know, I grew up watching those movies. It harkens back to my childhood. And, you know, the only thing better, as I say so oftentimes, is then the articles themselves and the observations that are made in the articles that we post to our website is the comments that you, the listener, contribute at the end of each article. And in response to this article, as you do with all of them, the listeners, the readers of thepoliticalcesspool.org chimed in. And I love reading your comments. We have a moderator, of course, who kind of oversees the comments so they don't get too far out of hand. But the ones that do get posted, I make a point to go and read intermittently during the week. And it's always informative, really adds a lot of depth and analysis to the article themselves when those of you who listen to the show and read the website comment. And I'm sure each and every one of you enjoy reading those comments as much as I do. So when you're at the website and you're reading an article and you got an opinion, let your voice be heard. Submit your comment, good, bad, or indifferent. You don't have to see things our way. Just don't use cuss words and, you know, advocate violence or anything foolish like that, and we'll probably post what you have to say. But I do indeed love reading the, you know, getting a peek into the minds of those who tune into the show, have such a high opinion of each and every one of you. Winston Smith, you know, let's get back to him for a second. Political Cesspool co-host Winston Smith, still suffering from various ailments. As you know, he's suffering from hearing loss, very drastic hearing loss. He's, you know, practically deaf right now, so that's why he hasn't been on the show in a co-hosting capacity in a number of weeks now, even a few months it's been. He's scheduled to get some of that fixed. He's going to get the cochlear implants, but he's still writing and contributing to the website. We're going to take a look at a couple of his articles right after these words. Stay tuned.
Right after these messages. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. Big girls
don't cry. Big girls. All right. Welcome back. Are we having fun or are we having fun tonight, folks? Come on now. Winston Smith, we were talking about him before the break. We're going to have more fun in the third hour. Just wait till Eddie the Bombardier Miller gets here. Then we're really going to have a party. I'll tell you what. Winston Smith, unfortunately, will not be in studio tonight, as you know. And as I said just before the last break, he is suffering from hearing loss. He was a submarine man for a long, long time in the Navy. And, you know, it damaged him. It damaged his hearing, and it was a degenerative condition, and now it's just about degenerated as far as it can go naturally, but he is going to get some cochlear implants, and he'll be back in the saddle sooner or later. But until then, he's still contributing online with articles at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And he wrote recently, you know, big story, that, you know, obviously, I don't know if we've covered it much. I know we've talked about it in passing, but let's not forget, you know, the United States economy and you know, the United States credit is about as bad as it can get. Everybody's talking about this credit downgrade. My only question is, what took so long? I mean, you run up trillions of dollars of debt. I hate to use the elementary comparison that everybody does, but it's right on target. It's spot on. How could you not use it? I mean, you're an individual. You have a credit card. You don't pay it, you get a bad credit rating. You don't just keep going back to Visa or MasterCard or Capital One or whomever and say, you know, listen, I'm not going to be able to, you know, I've maxed out my $10,000 credit card. You know, I'm not going to be able to pay it. You know, we raise the limit to $20,000. And they say, sure. Next, you know, couple of months, oh, whoops, I maxed out again. How about you just raise it to $100,000? Okay, no problem. Oh, you know, I've maxed out $100,000. Hey, you know, just make it $1 million. You know, what do you think they say? They say no. And then they damage your credit to where you can't buy anything. And then they sick creditors on you and you got to go to court. I mean, that's what should happen, though, if you're a deadbeat. If you're a deadbeat, like this country is a deadbeat, like our governments are a bunch of deadbeats. I mean, for how many decades now have they just been raising the debt ceiling rather than having to abide by the rules and pay off their debts and balance their budget like me and you and everybody else has to do? They've been doing it for decades, literally decades. How did it take so long for them to get a little slap on the wrist and a downgrade from a AAA credit rating to a AA+? I mean, they should be an F-. They should be at the bottom of the barrel. They should be an F. F. Horrible. But they're still a AA+. You know, why did it take so long, and how are they still ranked or rated as highly as they are? That's my only question about it. That's the only thing I don't understand about the U.S. credit downgrade that everybody is on TV talking about. You know, it's not like no one expected Obama and his fellow Marxists to blame everyone. You know, we all expected them to blame everyone but themselves for the rancor of the debt ceiling negotiations and the humiliating downgrading of the country's credit rating. It was inevitable. But what is surprising is the septic tank depth to which they have dived to dredge their muck and the acres of hay fields that they have ravaged to construct their straw men. It's truly amazing. Let's have a look at who Obama is blaming and how his administration is going about it. As Winston Smith writes, they're blaming the Tea Party, first of all. Now, do you remember when the Democrats, liberals, and other Marxists laughed at the Tea Party, calling it a flash in the pan political movement, an astroturf movement? Well, they're not laughing anymore. In fact, they're simultaneously scared of the Tea Party and glad to have it around because it gives them a default boogeyman upon which to hang everything they can't attribute directly to racism. And blaming it, they are, in a big, nasty, and bombastic way. At a private meeting of Democrats attended by Vice President Biden, Representative Michael Doyle of Pennsylvania said this of the Tea Party, quote, "We have negotiated with terrorists. This small group of terrorists have made it impossible to spend any money." A New York Times columnist wrote, "These last few months, much of the country has watched in horror as the Tea Party Republicans have waged jihad on the American people. The Tea Party Republicans can put aside their suicide vests," quote unquote. Apparently speaking from the Isle of Patmos, Nancy Pelosi warned us of her apocalyptic vision of the future. Quote, "What we're trying to do is save the world from the Republican budget. We're trying to save life on this planet as we know it. This will call the U.S. debt to default and the world financial markets to collapse. That will lead to total collapse of everything we have ever known," end quote. So let's recap here. Hostage takers, jihadists, terrorists, suicide bombers, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. This is the language Marxists are deploying about a month before the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. And just days after Gabrielle Giffords returned to Congress after being shot through the head, an incident that prompted many Tea Party haters to call for less heated rhetoric. Remember when Bill Clinton and all them were calling for less heated political rhetoric, less toxic rhetoric, less demonization of political opponents? Well, at least Senator John Kerry used a more palatable phrase to express his Tea Party hatred. Quote, "The Tea Party downgrade because a minority of people in the House of Representatives countered even the will of many Republicans in the United States Senate who were prepared to a bigger deal." Now, that was John Kerry speaking. He, who is a member of the Democrat Senate that hasn't put forth a budget in over 3 years before the Tea Party had any clout. And what's with his sudden concern over a numerical minority overriding the will of the majority? He and his fellow Democratic senators gleefully passed Obamacare, a tax increase scheme that over 70% of Americans opposed. Anyhow, his Tea Party downgrade catchphrase was picked up by Obama's re-election campaign strategist David Axelrod, and it almost certainly will be mandatory talking point for the next year and a half. Now, another group of people that Obama is blaming for the Obama administration is blaming for the credit downgrade is Standard and Poor's and the fact that taxes are too low on the wealthy. A senior Obama administration official is calling Standard and Poor's move to downgrade the U.S. credit a facts be damned decision, quote unquote, saying the rating agency admitted to an error that inflated U.S. deficits by $2 trillion. A judgment flawed by a $2 trillion error speaks for itself, a Treasury Department spokesman said. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid stressed, quote, the need for a balanced approach to deficit reduction that combines spending cuts with revenue-raising measures like closing taxpayer-funded giveaways to billionaires, oil companies, and corporate jet owners, end quote. By the way, have you noticed that neither Obama or his administration will use the word tax or taxes, but instead just say revenue? And I'm just asking. But anyway, as Winston Smith continues, the Obama administration is screaming that Standard & Poor's judgment was flawed and that they are demanding that S&P change their criteria for lending money to a country that obviously cannot afford to make payments on the loan. That's exactly what the U.S. government did with mortgage lenders. Congress, led by Barney Frank and Chris Dodd, threatened audits of mortgage lenders that didn't change their criteria for lending money to people who obviously couldn't afford to make payments on home loans. The result is a big part of the conditions that put the economy in the mess it's in now. The American people know it, and S&P knows it too. And I'm pretty sure S&P isn't going to be intimidated by Tim Geithner, Axelrod, or any of the Obama administration lackeys who are wagging their fingers, stomping their feet, and snorting. You have to change your lending criteria. So the Obama administration has fixed their blame, the crosshairs on the Tea Party, with a mild glance at S&P and wealthy Americans. But what about Obama? Who does he blame? Obama, the president himself. He blames government gridlock. Standard & Poor's move, Obama said, was, quote, not so much because they doubt our ability to pay our debt, but because after witnessing a month of wrangling over raising the debt ceiling, they have doubted our political system's ability to act. Obama also blames George Bush. We had a serious debt problem in terms of debt and deficit, and much of it I inherited. Now, that's true. That's true. You know, Bush plays for the same team that Obama does. They're both owned by the same puppet masters. But, you know, a lot of Bush's policies that led to the downgrade was started by Bush. But it's equally true that Obama's policies and incompetence have worsened the existing problems and have also created new ones. Obama also blames Europe. When you have problems in Europe and Spain and in Italy and in Greece, those problems wash up over into our shores, he said. And he actually even blames the problems themselves for the problem. And I quote, "This is actually a self-created crisis in some ways, whatever that means." Anyway, folks, if you want to read more about this, we got a lot more about it. Winston Smith wrote a masterpiece, a magnum opus. Go check it out tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I might even tell you a little more about it on the flip side of this commercial break. Stay tuned. Right after these messages.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the show. Want to thank Edward up in Pennsylvania for making a nice donation to the show during the last commercial break. Listen, folks, you can, I'm sure as Edward can attest, it made him feel good on the inside. Doesn't it make you feel good? Eddie has just joined us. Eddie, doesn't it make you feel good to do a good deed, to do a favor for somebody you like, or in this case, a radio program you love?
Not really. I hate good deeds. No, it does. It makes. As a matter of fact, I did a good deed about an hour ago.
You went and jumped off your daughter's car on the way to the radio station tonight.
Yeah, it surely did. Her car broke down for twice today, and I went over there and I had to show them how to jump the car off, because you know you can't just hook a battery up anyway, because you can blow the damn battery up. So it took me forever to get that thing going, but that's my good deed for the day.
You did that in addition to loading up the Bombay doors, flying over in your B-17 here to the studio. You know, thankfully we have a landing strip for Eddie right outside the station here, so he just parks. You know, he doesn't drive at the station, he flies in. And sometimes he, you know, drops that napalm down right on top of us. You know we got to rebuild. But anyway, good to have you here. Eddie's going to be part of the show during the third hour tonight. Fresh in from Kentucky, had to go up for a family funeral. So,
bring you some photos.
Yeah, he's going to bring me some photos of the funeral.
Well, my last surviving uncle.
He's going to start talking about it. He's going to start telling uncle stories. We'll get to some of Eddie's tall tales in the third hour. Not tall tales, they're true stories, but they sound like Tom Sawyer stuff, but they're really good. Anyway, thanks to Edward in Pennsylvania for making the donation. If you want to feel good like Edward feels good right now, listen, he just did it. You can do it too. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a contribution. There is no radio program in the world that brings you the kind of news and perspective and analysis and opinion that this show does. And listen, we're not some rinky-dink internet podcast, folks. We're going out to the AM, FM stations around the country. Thankfully, the internet does, in fact, you know, give us the link to those who aren't in listener markets. But, you know, we're out here. We're fighting for you, folks. Stand with us. Together, we will, we're going to do something good, I'll tell you that. I want to get back. But anyway, thank you. In all sincerity, thank you, Edward, for that. We sincerely appreciate it, my friend. I've been talking about Winston Smith's great article about how the Obama administration is blaming everyone but themselves for the U.S. credit downgrade. They've blamed the Tea Party. They've blamed Standards and Poor's. They've blamed the wealthy. They've blamed government gridlock. They've blamed Bush. They've blamed Europe. They've blamed problems themselves. Well, let's kind of recap all that, as Winston does. If it's a self-created problem, this government downgrade, then the Tea Party can't be blamed. Neither can S&P, nor the wealthy, nor government gridlock, nor George W. Bush, nor Europe. But rest assured, Obama will blame them all, and probably many others in the future. We might as well call him Barack Oblama, Blamer-in-Chief. Now, I'll tell you what. Spread the word that I'll give away an autographed copy of my book, Racism, Schmacism, Eddie, and you know we got a stack of them here in the studio tonight, to the first national reporter who asks Oblama this question: have either your policies or those of the Treasury Secretary Geithner in any way caused, aggravated, or exacerbated any of the economic conditions that led to the country's credit rating downgrade? One caveat. The reporter must not let Oblama get away with an answer like, yes, they did. My policies did not go far enough to help those who are suffering and to make the wealthy pay their fair share. Now, since China holds most of the U.S. government's debt, perhaps they can offer a solution. You know, those greasy commercials for used car dealers and predatory lenders who specialize in financing people with less than perfect credit? Maybe China can open a similar business for countries in similar circumstances. I can imagine the commercials. Has your country's credit rating been downgraded? Are you finding it hard to pay your national debts? Do you stay awake at night wondering where the money is going to come from to support your illegal aliens, your willful non-producers?
your generational welfare recipients, and your foreign aid countries that hate you? If so, then we want to help. We specialize in financing countries with less than perfect credit. If you have a phone, then you have a loan. Call now. You know, that's what the country needs, Eddie. That's what we need. America needs that, you know, because we've got those problems. We've been downgraded. We can't support the illegal aliens. You know, we can't support the non-producers and the foreign aid countries that hate us. We got to have a loan here, baby. It wasn't that long ago that Oblama said that his two young daughters, Malia and Sasha, are more disciplined than Congress. Now, perhaps Malia and Sasha could have told their father that everyone has to live within a budget and that constantly spending more money than you have is a bad thing to do. It's even true for individuals and families and businesses, and it's true for governments. Every American knows these things. Don't wonder why Obama doesn't. Of course, that would be, I guess, Winston's cut that he's not a real American. And he's not. Anyway, so good article there from Winston. It took me two segments to get through it. So if you want to read it, you get a peanut butter sandwich, a bag of potato chips, glass of milk, and you'll be reading for about 15 minutes. Apparently, Eddie, that's how long it took me. Winston's talented, is he not?
I'll tell you what, he's the man. He really is. You know what? If I could write like Winston and speak like Keith.
You could be like Winston and you wouldn't have to come on the show. You could just write articles for our website. You would have to drive to the station every night.
Sure could. Hey, I'd take over the world, man. I'll tell you what, I would good. If I could speak like Keith, write like Winston, I could take over the world.
Because I got the looks.
You got the looks for sure. If anyone doubts that, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. Click on the tab that says crew and take a picture at Eddie the Bombardier Miller's mugshot. I tell you, he has got the look down now. He is, he's all over it. Okay, what do we want to talk about now? I know there's a lot of stuff on the blog. You know, I never can get to enough. The United States, the U.S. space program is over, Eddie. Did you hear about this? I know you're technically not on duty to the third hour, so I should probably. You know, we got to pay Eddie on a scale here, so, you know, I probably shouldn't. His agent's going to dock me for another segment here if I bring him in too soon. But did you hear that after the last mission, the United States, well, I'll just read it to you, and if you haven't heard, you'll know now. The space program was once the jewel in America's crown. Well, no more.
I remember it when it started.
Yeah, Eddie was old enough to remember when it first started. The last space shuttle has landed, and no one knows when another manned mission, launched from the U.S. at least, will ascend into the heavens, as Reuters reports. The space shuttle Atlantis returned from NASA's final shuttle mission on Thursday, that was a week ago Thursday, ending a 30-year era that opened the space frontier, exposed its dangers, and established a toehold for future endeavors beyond Earth. NASA workers lined the runway at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida before dawn to greet Atlantis and its crew after a 13-day cargo run to the International Space Station and to mark the conclusion of the space program after 135 flights. So there you go, Eddie. The space program is over. Why is it over? Why is it over? Because
the welfare state.
Well, that's a good answer, and that's fairly accurate because there's not enough money in the budget to fund the space program. Why should we try to reach for the stars when it's more important that we pay the deadbeats, that we pay the dregs of society? It's more important to send out food stamps and welfare and Section 8 housing. More important that we do all that. You know, supply for the people who hate our country, who hate our culture, who hate our founding stock, who don't want to work, who will not work. As the Bible says, if a man won't work, don't let him eat. You know, but it's more important that we feed all these hungry mouths than reach for the stars and try to evolve into something better than what we were. You know, in other words, that's it. There will probably never be another American astronaut on a U.S. spacecraft in our lifetime. Liberals have always hated the space program. They succeeded in killing off a manned mission to Mars in the 1970s, and they have kept strangling the space program of funds until we can no longer launch astronauts into space. Instead of spending money developing new technology and exploring the solar system, liberals want to give all that government money. They want it given to millions of third worlders who continue to be an enormous tax burden on our nation's founding stock, which grows bigger every year.
Obama's America has no time or money for the space program. Obama's America is a place where Americans are living in their cars and surviving on food stamps. Obama's America is a place where highways crumble and swarms of illegal aliens overrun the once proud nation that walked on the moon. The footprints on the moon will be there for all of eternity, but no other footprints will ever join them, at least not American ones. There is occasional talk about sending astronauts to Mars, but we all know that it'll come to nothing. America has become an increasingly broke third world country. We couldn't even operate the space shuttles without burning up two of them as our multiracial society loses more of its technical competency every year. You know, so there you have it. You know, we're not even capable of things now in 2011 as we were in the 1960s. You should be more capable and more competent and better funded and further down the line. We're taking steps back. We all know why, and this program is the only one with the guts to admit it, and we're going to continue to admit it until God himself calls us on. We got to take a break, though. We got to take a break. We got to pay the bills. And anyway, folks, listen, we're going to take a break. The third and final hour of tonight's broadcast is coming your way right after these words from our sponsors. So stay tuned, and if you want to feel good like Ed in Pennsylvania, make a donation to the show, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We'll be back with Eddie the Bombardier Miller right after this.